I've got a few different passages of scriptures I'm going to be looking at this evening. And if you got your Bibles, turn to Psalms 100, the 100th Psalm, and I'm going to look at one verse here. Keep your Bibles open, if you will. And we'll read through our text, and then I'm going to go back and try to share what the Lord gave me for this evening service. Psalms 100, verse 5. The Bible says, "And for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Now turn with me to Psalms 135. Psalms 135 in verse 3. He says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant." Now it's going to get a little bit harder. These young people are probably going to show us up. Go to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25. Lamentations 3 and 25. I'm still hearing pages turn. He said, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Now go to Nahum, if you will, chapter 1 and verse 7. The minor prophets. If you get to Matthew, you went too far. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. He says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." I think a lot of times when we read over these passages of scriptures, we overlook some of the simple, fundamental truths that are written there. Everything that is in this body, in this Bible, is there for a purpose. The Lord is good, not just occasionally, not just when the sun is shining, not just when things are going the way you want them to go. It is woven into the fabric of who God is, and it's recorded in our Bible. The Hebrew word means is tob, T-O-B. That Hebrew word carries the ideal that something is pleasant, it is beautiful, it is beneficial, it is excellent and right in every way. Everything about God is right. His character is right. His timing is right. Even when He was 4 days late, He was right on time. His purpose is right. He is the most deepest, he is right in the most deepest sense of the word. God is good. I read to you from four different writers, four different circumstances, in four different moments in history. All four of these writers write, and they wrote them in different points of their life. Different things was going on. And all of them wrote about the testimony of the Lord, that the Lord is good. We see first off a psalmist writing in worship. The next verse I read to you, a prophet wrote in mourning. The third one in Lamentations, a man is sitting in the ashes in suffering. And the fourth verse I read in Nahum, a prophet is staring at the wrath of God on a wicked nation. In every circumstance, in every situation, we can always say the Lord is good. All four, from where they were standing, looked up into the heavens and said the same thing. I want you to look first. Well, I'm going to look first at Psalms 100. His goodness . There's a terminology that I learned in real estate. It is called perpetual non-revocable. That's a big, long word for somebody as simple as I am. A lot of times that deals with easements. Brother Rick, that drive I've got going down to my shop, that is a perpetual non-revocable easement that allows access to my property. Unlimited egress and ingress. It allows me to come and go as I please. I don't own the land, but I have a right to use it. I want you to look at what the psalmist said here. That he said, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. There is no expiration date on His mercy. The devil would like to, revoke it. He would like to say, it's not good for you. You're not good enough for His mercy. You're not good enough for His grace. You're not good enough for this. But it is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. That means the generations before me. That means yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Lord is still good. He was good yesterday. He's been good today, and He'll be good tomorrow. This is not like I got so tickled whenever I used to work in the grocery store. In 1987, if memory serves me correct, they come out with an expiration date on pop. I thought, what in the world? You know that expiration dates is a marketing strategy on a lot of commodities? I'm preaching to my wife right now. You ladies in the kitchen know she'll go through it. And if it's expired, it's got to go. And I understand she don't want to make anybody in the church sick. I get it. But did you know that they can put an expiration date on a product, and if the store don't throw it away, there's a high percentage of the consumers that'll set in their pantry till it goes bad. They'll toss it out and they'll sell them another one. I'm here to tell you that the mercies of God endureth forever. Generation to generation, there's no expiration date. I like what he says here in this 100 Psalm. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. This is a very popular Psalm. A lot of people have memorized it. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And then he gives us this last verse. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Why should we praise the Lord? Because the Lord is good. Verse number 5 tells us that very first word, four. This is just not just an invitation to praise, but a reason. For He is good. Everlasting, generation to generation, no shelf life, no expiration date. It has no beginning and no end. His goodness cannot be used up. It is not in limited supply. You don't have a certain amount of God's goodness that you can use, and then He says, that's all the goodness I have. I'm sorry, I'm out. It's good for the young and it's good for the old. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You know what He's saying? There's a brand new set of mercies waiting on you tomorrow. Now, that doesn't give you a reason or a right to go out and willfully sin. That's not what He's saying. But what He's saying is God is good tomorrow just like He was good today. I want us to go to Psalms 135. Not only is His goodness perpetual, but a different writer looked at it from a different standpoint. His goodness is pleasant. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Most of the time when we read the words, praise the Lord, especially in the book of Psalms, we feel like that, and I'm just preaching to home folk tonight. We feel like that it is out of obligation that we praise the Lord. And I know I've been guilty of maybe, preaching that way too. But, you ought to sit up here in my shoes one of these times and see what it's like. Whenever you're trying to get people excited to worship and praise God, and you know, come on, church, let's praise the Lord. And you feel like you do it out of obligation. Everything that hath breath, the scripture says, praise ye the Lord. So we carry on about that. But even though we all have a call to worship Him, Psalms 135 gives us a little bit of a different angle on this, on praise. He says it should be pleasant. Pleasant. The Hebrew word there is not na'im, if I'm pronouncing that even somewhere close. It says something that is sweet, something that is delightful, something that is agreeable and enjoyable. Praising God should be a good experience. It should be something that we enjoy. It should not be a drudgery. The pleasantness comes from the object of our praise. There's a difference of applauding someone you're told to versus someone because you want to. Baseball games are going on right now. And I've noticed something about, especially in state championships, they'll have the team come out and the runner-up, they'll come out and everybody give them an applause. Have you watched the crowd? Out of obligation, out of respect. But you have the state champions come out. The ones, especially the parents of, that's my child. Woo-hoo! That one's mine! Do you understand the difference? Come on, Sister Brown, you ought to be helping me. You see that kicker? He's my son. There's a difference of excitement and a pleasantness about praising whenever it's yours, whenever you have a personal relationship, a personal feeling or connection with that person. This is my God. He's good. You see what the difference? He deserves my praise. Wow. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing His praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. His goodness, it makes a difference about everything. Praising Him should be pleasant. When it becomes an obligation instead of a joy, we're praising Him for the wrong reason. He was good yesterday. He's good today, and He'll be good tomorrow. Our praise should not be conditional, but because the Lord is good. Not only do I see that His goodness is perpetual, His goodness is pleasant, but I see His goodness is personal. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25, it said, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Now, you have to go back and to understand in Scripture what's going on here when the prophet Jeremiah wrote this. You know, Lamentations is one of those books you just don't pick up and just wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to read the book of Lamentations today. It's such a joyful book. You know, Lamentations, the root word means lament. He was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah wrote this book, and in this time in chapter 1, it is a judgment of God's wrath against the city of Nineveh. Hang on, I'm getting to Nahum. It's written by Jeremiah, the city has fallen. The temple has been burned down. The people has been carried off into captivity. And he is left sitting in the ashes. They burned the temple down. He's left sitting in the ashes, wondering what's going to take place next. The people carried off into captivity. And he writes, "The Lord is good unto them that wait on Him." Well, that sounds easy enough. I can wait. Waiting's easy. But I don't think that's what he meant. He wept until he had no more tears to weep. Then he looks up into the heavens, and his goodness is directed unto them that wait. The word wait in the Hebrew, that word means kava, or to bind together, to look with eager expectation, to stretch toward. It is an active, it is an explicit, expectative word. It means His goodness is for those that actively seek the Lord. When we wait upon the Lord, we're seeking God and seeking God's will and God's direction in our life. When we wait upon the Lord, it makes a difference. It's like being a server or a waitress at a restaurant. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what can I get you? Would you like a refill of your unsweet tea? Trey, do you like another Dr. Pepper? Are you getting the picture? We're waiting upon the Lord. And then it goes on and tells us that He is a strong, that Lord help me. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. We have to actively seek Him and serve Him. Not only is the Lord good, He is a personal, His goodness is personal, but His goodness is protection. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, I was trying to go here just a minute ago. It said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust Him. Nahum is a book of judgment. Chapter 1 is a judgment of God's wrath against the city of Nineveh. You remember that city where Jonah was commanded to go and preach to them, and he refused, and the great fish swallowed him up. This is Nineveh. It was a city, it was a capital city of Syria. One of the most brutal and known cities at that day and time of the ancient world. It was wicked. Chapter 1 talks about the lightning and the whirlwind and the earthquakes and the fire and the power and the fury of God moving against the wickedness of this city and this nation. And in the middle of all of this, he writes that the same power that brings judgment is a stronghold, a place of refuge, a fortified place of strength, something that holds up when everything else around you is crashing down. Kind of reminds you of our world today. I don't know what's going to take place with the elections, the results from them. I don't know what's going to happen with America. I don't know what's going to take place in the Middle East and gas prices and politics. And I mean, on every hand, it's going crazy. But I do know this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That verse number 7, comes with conditions. And He knoweth them that trust Him. He knows the situation you're in. He sees you right now. He sees you where you're at. Just like this morning, when I brought out about the fact of the crowds of people that was coming in and going out of the city of Nain. He saw her. Let me remind you that the Lord is good. In all of this, I want to leave you with this tonight. His goodness is not dependent upon your circumstance. We see a man that wrote in worship. We see a prophet write in mourning. We see a man, Jeremiah, sitting in the middle of a heap of ashes. We see a prophet staring at the wrath of God in judgment on the city of Nineveh. Four different people in four different occasions. Four different set of circumstances. And they all write the same thing. The Lord is good. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what tomorrow holds, I want you to know this fact, that He is still good. If your world comes crashing down, God is still good. He's still good.